Chris, we have the primary election coming up here in just a couple of days, April 23rd. Republicans have their primary, Democrats have their primary, and we have some battles going on around the state. So why don't we start out taking a statewide view of things? We have, obviously, every office from president through statewide row or constitutional offices. What do you see happening there?
Yes, Loman, good to be with you again. The top two races, President and U.S. Senate, the primaries are both nothing burgers. They're done. So both those races, which are going to be very important and razor sharp close, those are just going to be postponed to the general election because the primaries are all over. On the state row offices, as you said, Attorney General, Auditor General, and Treasurer, there will be four primaries there. So let's start first with the Democrats, because they have primaries for all three offices. They have five Democrats running in the race for Attorney General and two Democrats each in the race for Auditor General and Treasurer. So the Attorney General's office is open because the former Attorney General, Josh Shapiro, is now our governor. And the person he appointed to take over for that position pledged not to run again, and she is honoring that pledge. You have an open seat. For state auditor and state treasurer, both those offices are held by incumbent Republicans. Tim DeFore is the Republican auditor general, Stacey Garrity, the Democratic treasurer. So obviously those folks are unopposed. So the Democrats are running what I would think would be in fact, three very spirited primaries for all those seats. And those row offices, as we call them, Loman, they are oftentimes overlooked in the fall because they always run the same time as the president. And then this year we have the Senate race as well. So they're having their moment in the primary. On the Republican side, there is a two-way race for Attorney General. And so that means that both parties are picking brand new for Attorney General. The Democrats have a primary for Auditor General and Treasurer, and the Republicans have their two incumbents. The way it works in Pennsylvania, Loman, is you can run for those row offices, and you can stay in office two terms. So the Democrats are going to especially focus on the Attorney General's race because that's an open seat, and it's always a little bit easier to win an open seat than it is to beat an incumbent.
So we have these statewide row or constitutional offices up here in the primary and ultimately to be filled in the general election this November. Let's move now to some of the key races for Congress. Of course, the United States House of Representatives is down to, a one or two seat Republican majority. So every district matters, and a lot of what is going to happen is decided in the primary, depending on who the nominees are. So we have about three districts where we have interesting primaries. Can you give us an overview in those districts?
Sure. As you said, Loman, the Republicans now have literally a one-seat operating majority because they have a couple of open seats that when they are filled later this year, it'll go back up to four. But just like our state house, which has a one-seat Democratic majority, the Republicans have a one-seat functioning majority in the U.S. House. So let's go across the state from east to west. In the Lehigh Valley, you have a big race on the Republican side on the 7th Congressional District. That district is Lehigh County, Northampton County, Carbon County, and a very small slice of Monroe County. And those Republicans, there's three of them, are running to try to become the nominee to go after the Democratic incumbent there, Susan Wild. She has won her last two races by less than 2%. So she is, I think, right there at the top of the Republican target list. Moving a little bit more to the central part of the state where you and I are located, there's a big Democratic primary for Congress in the 10th District to try and take on incumbent Republican Scott Perry. Last year, he served also as chairman of the Freedom Caucus, which is by nature a very contentious group. So you've got a lot of Democrats gunning for them. You've got one well-known candidate who was a 35-plus year veteran of being a TV anchor, and five other candidates. So that one is definitely a melee. And while we were filming this, you and I together now recording this, I just saw an ad on the TV for one of the people in that race. Moving further to the west, we have the 12th Congressional District, which is held by Representative Summer Lee. She is the one member of the Squad, very far liberal Democratic members of Congress. She's the one member from Pennsylvania, and she is in the middle of a primary. It was originally against two candidates, but one dropped out. So that seat encompasses all of the city of Pittsburgh and then some suburban areas. So that seat is seen right now potentially as more of a primary fight than a general election fight. But, you know, Loban, stranger things have happened sometimes, and we've seen it here in the past. A candidate, an incumbent especially, gets dinged up in the primary, and then they're weakened as they go into the general election. So between our big U.S. Senate race between Republican challenger Dave McCormick and the Democratic incumbent Bob Casey Jr., and these hot congressional races and the presidential race, your listeners are going to have a lot of TV ads coming their way, a lot of radio ads coming their way, and a lot of mailers in their mailbox for sure.
Well, certainly Pennsylvania is going to live up to its reputation of being a battleground state on all of these federal races. And if we drill down here a little bit, Chris, into state legislative races, which tend to not really get as much coverage except some isolated incidents, let's talk first of all about the Pennsylvania State Senate. The Republicans are in control there by a reasonable number, but there are some contentious elections going on in that body as well, correct?
Correct. So the state Senate has 50 members, and in this presidential year, the way it works is all the members in the odd-numbered seats stand for re-election, okay? So right now, the Republicans have a 28-22 advantage. Democrats, because we have a Democratic governor, have the Democratic lieutenant governor to break a tie. So in their mind, they need to gain three seats to make it a tie at 25 all, and then the Democratic lieutenant governor, Austin Davis, could break ties. So they have their eyes on a seat in suburban Harrisburg, a seat in suburban Pittsburgh, and the seat that encompasses the city of Erie and most of the county of Erie. So those are those three big seats for them. Those are all Republican-held seats. Two of them you have Republican incumbents running. So again, as I've said before, incumbents are harder to beat because they've already won election there at one point. So the Democrats have an uphill battle, but they are confident that with what they're thinking, a strong showing by President Biden and Senator Casey will help them push these Republican incumbents out.
Speaking of legislative bodies that have narrow majorities, the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, really a one-seat difference. We do have a vacant seat now that will be filled here in the primary by a Republican. It's heavily Republican. So you have a one-seat Democrat House majority. We've had that periodically on and off because vacancies have dropped us into an actual tie. Even though there are 203 seats in the state House, Chris, there aren't really that many of them where there are going to be contested primaries or generals, are there?
No, I think the number is almost 50% of incumbent House members do not have a challenge in the fall. So that's a pretty big number. That said, because there are so many of them, 203, there will be a handful of contentious House races in the state. The last election, 2022, you had the new districts come online because of redistricting, and you had a couple of seats that were won or lost by less than 300 or 400 votes, even in a state House district, which is essentially one half of 1% of the state. 200-300 votes is a very small number. So you'll have a lot of challenges on both sides from both the House Democrats and the House Republicans. Like you said, they can sometimes fly underneath the radar because you have all the other seats going on. But I wouldn't be surprised if you had at least 8 to 10 seats really up for close races there in the state house. So it's a busy year here in Pennsylvania. If you are a registered Democrat or Republican, please get out and vote. And if you're an independent, nonpartisan, please get ready to vote in the fall.
We might want to mention here tangentially, folks are going to see on their ballots, Chris, delegates and alternate delegates to the Republican and Democrat National Convention. So those get elected just by people in their individual parties, right?
Yes. So what it is each congressional district, according to a formula based on how Republican or how Democratic your seat, your district is, you will elect delegates to the National Convention. So only Republicans vote in the Republican race, and same for the Democrats. And so these are folks that want to go to the convention to be a delegate, or as you said, an alternate delegate. And we elect them here. On the Republican side, ironically, even though there's only one candidate left, there will be more than one candidate on the ballot. And technically, Loman, as you know, Republican delegates go to their convention officially and legally uncommitted, regardless of who won the primary race in their district or in the state, or even who they were pledged to. That's a little quirk in Pennsylvania on the Republican side, but these folks will be vying for the chance. I mean, think about it, Loman. You have to run a campaign in order to have the opportunity to pay for your travel to get to the convention in the summer. And neither convention at this point looks to be contested, or rather interesting, when you have the incumbent for the Democrats and the previous incumbent for the Republicans. But it's still a good time and a very nice thing to have in your back pocket to say you were a delegate to a national convention. So folks, when you're voting Republicans and Democrats, don't forget those on your ballot as well.
Well, it's a lot of fun to go to national conventions. I can, having been to a few, but this year, as you pointed out, it doesn't look like they're anything more than a rubber stamp. But there's a lot of maneuvering on both sides here. So who knows what we'll see by this summer when those conventions actually take place. We have been talking with veteran political consultants Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting. Chris, tell us about Eagle Consulting. Where can folks go to? You do a number of TV shows and podcasts. Where can folks go to see all that?
Thank you, Loman. They can go to our website, eagleconsult.com, or if they're interested in the podcast series I did last year on political corruption in Pennsylvania, they can go to PAPoliticalDigest.com and listen to those six episodes we did talking about political corruption in Pennsylvania.
And we're awaiting the sequel. So this is Pennsylvania after all.
Absolutely.
Chris Nicholas from Eagle Consulting. Chris, thank you for being back with us.
Thanks, Loman.